9 o'clock, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Passing out game balls today. Get pass out two on each side of the football for the Broncos. I've got Teddy Bridgewater, Melvin Gordon on the offense. On the defensive side, Von Miller, Josie Jewell. Though there's a lot of guys that certainly were worthy of game balls yesterday. Tim Patrick. But, you know, for the most part, the exception of that one long catch, what was it, Shepard early on. Broncos secondary played pretty well, though. There's that one time where Justin Simmons kind of fanned on a tackle out in space. But overall, the defense, particularly against the run, they only gave up 60 yards yesterday on the ground.
PS2 got caught up in some rubs.
Yes,
he
did.
He kind of came back to earth a little.
But that's okay. You're going to expect that. He's a rookie, and as good as he looked and as polished, you know, as he comes off, you know, how he played in the preseason and everything, he's going to be fine.
Some of your all-pros look like that every once in a while.
Yes, they do.
Now, if he looks like that consistently against these teams that aren't great, then there might be some issues.
Very true. Very true. So the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. Send your thoughts our way today. Game balls for the Broncos. Two game balls each side. Offense and defense. 970-242-1340. The Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. All right. So we have some. Let's get to some college football. We talked a little bit about the college weekend earlier with Colorado, Texas A&M. Tough game for the Buffs to lose. A game where it seemed like it was half A&M fans, half Buff fans. And I thought overall the student body showed up and supported the Buffs at Empower Field on Saturday. After the game, here's some comments. Carl Durrell talking about the Buffs and a tough, tough loss to the then number 5 team in the nation, Texas A&M.
Disappointing game when you're leading for most of it to the very end. As you can imagine, there's some disappointment about that. But there's no reason to hang our head low for anything. We had a chance to win a game, a significant game. And our locker room is more disappointed in us not finishing the game. I thought defensively we played really well. I thought offensively we had some good moments but struggled at times and couldn't put anything together in the second half. Special teams played solid. We missed a field goal. That was the one thing that we missed in terms of a special teams issue. But the body of work of that game, we had our chances. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. We'll get back to working on the things that are going to help us finish games better. We got to have better performance on the offensive side, and I'm sure we'll continue to grow and mature with that, with the new quarterback and everything. So there's definitely some encouraging signs that this team is better than people think. So hopefully people have saw that today. And we'll keep moving forward. That's all we're going to do. You know, we're going to have to learn from this loss, get ready for Minnesota, and move forward.
All right, there's Carl Durrell after the game. Buffs lose a tough one to Jimbo Fisher, who's making, what, probably four times what Carl Durrell's making?
Oh, at least.
And they had him. They had Jimbo Fisher, and they had the Aggies right where they wanted them. And they just, offensively, they had the ball down inside the 5 at one point, and couldn't punch it in. There were moments for Colorado, and look, part of that, you know, maybe you criticize Darren Cheverini for some play calling. Also the lack of experience on the part of Brendan Lewis at the quarterback spot. I thought early on in their touchdown drive, they did a good job of getting Brendan Lewis into comfortable plays in terms of throwing the ball and running the football. A&M just seemed like they were really unprepared on that touchdown drive for how much Brendan Lewis carried the football and how effective he was.
Yeah, I don't think A&M really... I think they maybe underestimated the Buffs running game as a whole, because Jarek Broussard had some pretty good runs. I mean, Alex Fontenot didn't have a ton of carries, but he has some pretty decent runs there as well.
They ran the ball effectively.
They did. And I don't think A&M was really ready for that. Or at least thought they would see it out of the Buffs.
look, and I mentioned our colleague Buffalo Mark. He thought A&M would win by 40. I didn't think they'd win by 40. I thought they'd probably win the football game.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the Buffs would hang in there.
And, you have to score 40 to win by 40, right?
And when their starting quarterback went down, which people say, well, if that guy stays in there, then maybe it's a different game and the Buffs aren't that close. I don't think so. I think that game was going to play out fairly close to how it played out on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, you know, Colorado, I mean, Haynes King went out with the injury, and then Calzada came on. He looked like a guy that hadn't played much lately, and he hadn't played, what, since 2019? But he ends up getting the touchdown. Of course, he also had the fumble.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like they were going to go up, and Buffs caught a huge break there where the ball's coming out before he breaks the plane, and they get it on the touchback. But I thought
Which
for Colorado,
is still a dumb rule, but it worked in favor of the Buffs.
But it worked in favor of the Buffs in that one. You know, Lewis had 76 yards on Saturday. Broussard 51 for a touchdown. Daniel Arias had some big catches. He's a guy that they keep waiting and waiting to kind of develop as a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now Colorado faces a tough one with Minnesota coming up. But defensively, man, they played well. Nate Lehman had 10 tackles in that game. And played his butt off. You know, I was impressed with the way Colorado played defensively. And I mean, they're taking on the number 5 team in the nation. They weren't playing Vanderbilt. Oh, that's right. Because Colorado State was playing Vanderbilt. Oh, and the Rams lose 24-21 at home to a really, really bad Vanderbilt football team. You want some Steve Addazio audio?
Yeah, let's have it.
Here's some Steve Addazio, Rams coach, on the loss to Vanderbilt.
I thought we came out hard and fast today. Thought we played as good as we can play in that first quarter. I thought we had an opportunity in the first half to put that game away. We squandered some opportunities in the red zone with some silliness and didn't score enough points at halftime. It was a completely lopsided game statistically at halftime. Came out in the third quarter, and we just didn't get anything going offensively. We had just a bunch of stuff, and it just did not find a rhythm. I thought we battled. I thought we improved. I thought we played hard, but we're still too much of a roller coaster ride. We've got to play cleaner, and we had too many penalties, 115 yards and penalties, PIs, targetings. I don't know what's there, not there. I can't begin to tell you, but it's 115 lost yards. Thought we played hard. Thought we competed hard. Thought we pressed in the end to win that game. Then, of course, on the last drive, there's a PI call and a targeting call. I don't know. I have to look at the tape. You know, we still probably outgained them by about 100 yards in offense. But, you know, we didn't play well enough in the third period. The third period really hurt us, and we didn't put the game out when we had a chance in the second period. And you can't do that. You know, you got to learn how to put a knockout punch in. But I thought our kids got better. I thought we improved. I thought we came out strong. I thought we competed hard. I saw all that. So there's some real positives in there. Of course, losing the game is by no means a positive, and it's hard on the kids because they really we had a great week last week. They put their heart and soul into that game. I think that was evident with the way they played passionately. But we've got to play cleaner. We still make far and away too many mistakes that are costly.
All right, there's Steve Addazio. You've lost to two. Look, I get South Dakota State. Let's give them the credit they deserve. They were the FCS national championship runner-up. They had everybody back. Okay, teams have struggled against FCS teams. Washington lost to Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cut them some slack there. But Vanderbilt's bad. This is a bad football team that the Rams went out and lost to on Saturday. Vanderbilt put up two touchdowns in the third quarter to come back and win that game 24-21. It's a team that was, you know, coming off a loss to an FCS team.
Yeah. It's not the Jay Cutler Vanderbilt.
No. And you can talk about how kids play with passion and this and that. And, you know, okay, Todd Senteo was okay. 238 yards, couple touchdowns and a pick. But this defense, the defense is supposed to be the strong part of this team, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the best, particularly the front seven, the best part of this team. You lost to Vanderbilt. You gave up 14 points in the third to Vanderbilt. And then, okay, you can talk about, no, we didn't put the game away. Yeah, because you went out, and how'd you respond to that 14-point third quarter, Steve Adazio's offense? Zero. Put up 0 points in the third quarter. Did get a touchdown in the fourth, but that 14-point third quarter came back to kill Colorado State. Absolutely killed them.
It did. And there's nothing else much to say. They played poorly in the second half of that game. They had way too many penalties, like he mentioned. Whether they're justified or not, at some point, putting yourself in the position to where it's questionable even, that's kind of on you. And the Rams are a very undisciplined team. They're incredibly undisciplined.
When you have 115 yards in penalties, you got a problem, Steve Adazio. You're not good enough to win games giving up 115 yards in penalties.
No, they're not. They can't.
They can't. And so Colorado State, they're now 0-2. I mean, it's totally different games. We're talking about how great in a defeat, mm-hmm. how great the Buffs played. They played the number five team in the nation to basically the last 2-3 minutes of the game and probably should have won the football game. That's different than on your home field against a bad Vanderbilt team.
Those are two different three-point losses.
Yeah.
Two completely different losses because, like you mentioned, number five team in the country was essentially a stalemate for 55 minutes.
Yeah.
A week after getting waxed by an FCS team, you come out and let Vanderbilt march up and down the field in the second half. That's bad.
It's not a good look at all. Air Force, on this, of course, this past weekend, the remembrance of 20 years ago, September 11th, very emotional with mm-hmm. Air Force playing at Navy. Air Force played great. They won 23-3. They're now 2-0. Brad Roberts had a big day on the ground for the Falcons, 97 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Troy Calhoun's team off to a 2-0 start. AP Top 25 out, and what a shocker. Alabama's your number one. Followed by Georgia, Oklahoma. Did you catch the Oklahoma-Nebraska Fox hype video?
Oh, the ad? Yeah.
Okay, what is the deal with the guy who sounds like he's from Brooklyn?
I don't know. The whole state's going down to Norman. Whole state's going to watch that team get their heads beat in.
The whole state is going down. They're going down to Norman. It's going to be a Husky Oklahoma. Remember the game of the set? Who had Fox thought that was a good idea to have a guy that sounded like he was from, you know, Larry from, you know, Hoboken.
Right.
Doing it's Nebraska, Oklahoma. It's a Midwest South showdown. It's not a battle in the South Bronx.
Right. And I mean, better be careful too. You have the whole state of Nebraska show up in Norman on Saturday, and Spencer Rattler might just curb stomp Nebraska into oblivion. Oklahoma is pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm just saying the promo. Did you see the promo though?
Yeah, I did.
What the hell does that have to do with Oklahoma, Nebraska? Was it me or is that guy? That guy had like an East Coast accent.
I didn't think it was that bad, but I mean,
it was.
I don't know.
It sounded bad to me. Yeah, Oklahoma's going to curb stomp Nebraska. Remember, Nebraska wanted out of this game. Scotty Frost didn't want to play this game.
I can understand why.
He's like, please don't be.
Can we at least not have this on television?
Can we play this like on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Can we do that?
There's going to be 70,000 witnesses to a murder on Saturday.
So Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 3, Oregon's 4. You know, they did win on Saturday. I hate to tell you this, but they did win the game.
I mean, that team went from essentially unranked to 4th
in 9 days.
No, they weren't
unranked. They were 12th. They weren't unranked.
It went from like unranked to 12 in 9 days. I don't even know if they were preseason top 25. People want that free Nike stuff, don't they?
They were 12th in the last poll.
Man, Phil Knight's team, they're great.
Last time I checked, that's in the top 25.
They should be top one. That's a good win by them, though. Ohio State couldn't stop the run. And so
I mean, they went into your place.
Run the ball.
They went into your house and did that.
Hey, their quarterback didn't try to plant a flag in the turf, though.
Well, because
that's only my guy, Baker.
Because Brown's smart enough to know that that's turf. And he learned. Smart guy, former BC quarterback. Mm-hmm. He was a smart guy.
Yeah.
He knows that that does not work if you try to plant a flag in an artificial surface.
I could barely watch when Oregon had the ball. It was so frustrating because it's just. They can't stop the run. If you want to run on Ohio State, go ahead. There's none of this. Got to force them to pass.
I'm liking my chances. I'm liking intern Peyton's chances to go out and get at least 50 on them.
Yeah. You have me and Tyler blocking in front of you, and you guys can be all right.
Whoa, I don't know about that. Whoa.
No, did you watch that game Saturday?
Whoa.
Those Ohio State kids were being moved out of the way.
Tyler, I'm feeling pretty good about you. I don't know, man.
Those Ohio State D linemen were getting moved out of the way like they were tackling dummy. Like they're just picking them up and all right, back to storage.
Like big brother taking on little brother.
Yeah.
And knocking little brother.
Ryan Day, I appreciate it. Oh, we got all season left.
No, that hurts.
We played 12 guys on defense.
Look, last two weekends have been good for the Pac-12.
Yeah.
UCLA's winning against LSU, Colorado playing A&M the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now Oregon, 0-9. Yeah. Now 1-10.
The only team that didn't play particularly well was Utah.
Yeah, but otherwise, mm-hmm. Pac-12 are earning some credibility here the first couple of weekends of the season. So Iowa's number 5 after the win at Iowa State. Clemson, A&M, they dropped from 5th to 7th as well. They should.
Yeah,
they won. But
your top 5 team, you should put away Colorado.
Absolutely.
I don't care where that game is played.
Cincinnati, Ohio State. Hey, you're still in the top 10.
We're behind Cincinnati, though. Oh, my God. They might as well just run the parade now, Luke Fickell. This is great. They won the state.
It's okay. So you're going to be okay. Penn State's number 10. Give you the top 15. Florida, Notre Dame. Oh, they're very lucky 2-0 right now.
Yeah, they
UCLA,
are.
Iowa State, Virginia Tech rounds out the top 50.
You don't want any piece of my Rockets. So now
they're your Rockets. Okay, yeah. So now they're your Rockets.
I might have
Buckeyes
to jump
lose
on the
a game,
bandwagon.
And all of a sudden now you're going to be sporting Toledo gear.
This is the first regular season loss in 3 years. So I'm not sure how to handle myself.
You know, another bad one for Pac-12, too, even though they had some good games, good efforts.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington game against Michigan, ooh, not good.
No.
Michigan stomped Washington. They ran for 343 yards.
Yeah, Huskies did not help my Saturday get any better. I was hoping, and they didn't.
That was supposed to be, it's supposed to be one of the Pac-12's best defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan says, no, I don't think so.
Utah got a late touchdown, but they lost to BYU 26-17.
And how much does it hurt that Stanford beat USC? I mean, I get it. It's in conference, but Stanford loses to K-State week one.
Mm-hmm.
And then now USC is supposed to be, they're supposed to be hands down, you know, heading into the season.
Cream of the crop.
Yeah. With Keaton Slovis, the best team in the Pac-12. I mean, well, mm-hmm. Oregon and I should say Oregon and USC.
They may not even win their state. I lost to Stanford.
It was supposed to be kind of like that 1A, 1B, right? Mm-hmm. Oregon number one and then 1A and then USC 1B. No.
They might not even be the best team in their own town.
They may not
UCLA
be.
UCLA looked pretty good.
UCLA all of a sudden after the win against LSU, UCLA is playing the best football they played under Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Best ball they played in quite some time. I mean, Oregon is still the big duck on the block there.
Yeah.
But USC was supposed to be right there with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were not.
They're not.
And USC, Tanner McKee, 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. First time he's ever started a game for Stanford's first college start. Goes out and knocks off USC. BYU gets the win against Utah.
Yeah.
No Zach Wilson, now with the Jets.
That wasn't a nine-point game either. It's 26-17 is the final. Utah scored 10 points in the fourth, but BYU was dominating that game in the first half.
And Utah was number 21 at that time.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Jaren Hall, 149 yards, three touchdowns in the win for a BYU team that, of course, on Friday, they'll be joining the Big 12,
mm-hmm.
along with Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston in the very, very near future.
That's a couple good gets for the Big 12, BYU and Cincinnati. Kings of Ohio, might as well bring them in.
Houston's a good get in terms of another
football,
Texas
basketball.
Team. Yeah.
Keeps you in the Houston market if a lot of Houstonites watch Cougars football. I don't know.
Central Florida, they've built a reputation.
Yeah.
With obviously when Scotty Frost was there, the mythical national champions.
It might be more them than Scotty Frost, too.
Oh man, that's a long travel for Central Florida. I mean, West Virginia thought they had to travel far in the Big 12. Now you got Central Florida that's going to be, going all the way to Norman and Manhattan.
Well, only Norman for two or three or a year or two. Until they get out.
Yeah. Well, I guess they won't be playing them. But skip that. No Norman, Manhattan, Lawrence, Ames.
Ames is the long one.
BYU.
Oh, that's true, huh? That'll yeah,
going to Provo. That's going to be a long trip.
So you got two really long trips, and then you're forced to play conference games in Cincinnati, too. That's unfortunate. Can we just play this in Morgantown again? Do we have to go to Cincinnati? Yes, you do.
Well, come on. Are you now cracking on the Kings of Ohio? That's what
the school is the Kings of Ohio. The town is still garbage.
Okay. All right. 9:22. Jim Long with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Passing out game balls. Couple on each side for the Broncos. Offense and defense. Also, today, the good, the bad, the ugly. So send that our way, 970-242-1340. All right, more high school football recaps from the weekend. We'll talk with North Fork head coach Curtis Hintz coming up in just a moment. North Fork off to an undefeated start. We'll talk with him next. Right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 9:26. Jim and the Buckeye Boy passing out game balls for the Broncos on the offense and defense. Denver gets their first win in September for Vic Fangio with the victory over the Giants yesterday. Next up, Herb and Trevor Lawrence and the mighty, not so mighty, Jacksonville Jaguars coming up on Sunday.
Get your interceptions hands ready.
Justin Simmons, Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller, get ready, boys.
He's throwing them at you.
Get those hands warmed up. All right, so... your thoughts on that today, the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. We'll get back to the text line in a moment. The Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. With us right now, his team is off to an undefeated start after their win over Monta Vista this last weekend. North Fork Miners head football coach Curtis Hintz. Curtis, I appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Yourself?
Doing well. You got to be thrilled with the way your team is playing right now. Out of the gates, playing some really good football. Your defense posts a shutout in that one against Monta Vista, 21-0. And a guy that we talk about a lot whenever we talk about North Fork Miners football, Mordecai White, another big game, 147 yards. He averaged almost 6 yards a carry, couple of touchdowns to lead your team to that one against Monta Vista.
Yeah, he ran the ball hard all night. Got him a lot of touches. We were trying to mix it up a little bit, but when we dialed up his number, he lowered the shoulder and got positive yards for us. But, I give credit to those guys up front. They played really well all night. We had a guy go down and had a young kid, Josiah Peter, step up for us as well. And then along with our tight ends, Lane Allen and Trenton Gaston and fullback Diesel Balco, they did a good job, creating some really nice running lanes for Mordecai. And he ran extremely hard all night.
And your quarterback, Drayden Taylor, a good all-around game, 55 yards through the air, but he also had 87 yards in the ground, Curtis, and a touchdown run, and he averaged almost 7 yards a carry.
Yeah, same thing with Drayden. You know, he's a hard-nosed runner, and he had some good running lanes, and then he also created some good runs on his own, breaking tackles, and, you know, had a good evening. You know, we'd like to complete a few more passes to loosen things up for our running game, but, you know, we completed five, a couple to Peebles, and that helped us create some good red zone opportunities that we took advantage of.
And not only was Drayden, put together a good all-around offensive game, played great on the defensive side. He had 11 tackles. Carter Neff had 15 to lead your team, Curtis, but Drayden Taylor also played really well on the defensive side for you.
Yeah, he's playing a fantastic outside linebacker for us. Monta Vista, they do a lot of boots and try to get the ball to the edge a little bit, and it set him up real nice to make some big game-changing plays on the defensive side of the ball. And Carter, as usual, flying around at that middle linebacker, playing downhill. And then also Colson Holmbeek on the defensive line. I think he ended up with 2.5 or 3 sacks. He played really well up front for us as well.
Curtis Sense, the coach of the North Fork Miners, off to a 2-0 start, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You now have Olathe coming up. Olathe, they're coming off that loss to Wiggins. Kind of a common opponent, though, that you both have is the game again when they played center here a while back. You handled center pretty well, but certainly for Olathe, they had a close football game against that center football team. That's kind of the only common opponent that you have right now. What have you seen on tape, or at least in person, about this Olathe Pirates football team?
You know, Coach Vincent, he's going to have them dialed in. He's going to have them ready to play. They're tough, hard-nosed kids, as Olathe always has, and Coach Korn's still helping out as well on the defensive side of the ball. So we know that they're going to be ready to play. They play hard. They're a physical team. Even when they're down a little bit, they keep flying around to the ball. So we got to be ready to match their intensity and be ready to play a physical four-quarter football game.
They're currently 0-3 on the season, so North Fork will square off against Olathe coming up on Friday, and that will be at Hotchkiss as North Fork takes on Olathe. So, and like I said, it's got a rivalry, Curtis, as well, and it's always, you know, when you've got two teams, you know, relatively close proximity, it's always a lot of fun when it's a rivalry game like this one.
Yeah, and it's our first ever home game, you know, as well, even though it's on a campus that has hosted games previously. It's the first one as North Fork football, and we're excited for that. We've got actually a JV game against Olathe as well this week, and you know, we're excited to host the North Fork community Friday night at 7 p.m. and it will be exciting against Olathe, because we know they'll be well coached, they'll be disciplined, and they'll be a hard-nosed team, and we're excited for that opportunity to get to host them, and then also get to host our first home football game.
Curtis Sense, the coach of the North Fork Miners, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see, you know, Paonia Eagle fans and Hotchkiss Bulldog fans, you know, normally in the stands, you know, on opposite sides of the field. But now those fans are all together to cheer on North Fork Friday night, like you said, in your first home game as the North Fork Miners. That's going to be a fun night, an interesting night. Anything you're going to do special considering it is your first home game as North Fork?
You know, it's been nice. The boys have come up with some new traditions pregame, and then also a little bit postgame. And we were fortunate. We had quite a few fans travel down to Monta Vista, and it was great to see, you know, them in North Fork gear cheering on the Miners. And, you know, it's fun because the boys, I've kind of leaned on them for how we come into the game and then also kind of how we break out the game afterwards. We're getting ready. We finally got our school song, and I believe we're getting ready to learn it here shortly, because we're going to sing the school song after a game, and so we're getting ready for that as well. But it'll be fun to have both communities' fans here on the same sideline supporting these boys, and I know they're excited to wear their home jerseys for the first time.
Well, best of luck on Friday night in that one. Congratulations on the 2-0 start night. So that'll be a very special night at Hotchkiss for the first game ever as the North Fork Miners playing on your home field. 7 o'clock Olathe at North Fork at Hotchkiss coming up on Friday night. Curtis, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Curtis Hintz, the coach of the North Fork Miners. That's going to be quite a cool experience where they're going to – football team's going to sing the school song after the game for the first time, and it's Olathe, like I said, you know, from a – you know, now from a, you know, proximity standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, one of their more, you know, close
closest
rivals.
Rivals, yeah.
After Peonia and Hotchkiss consolidated their high school and just that – what that's going to be like to play the first ever home game as the North Fork Miners on Friday night. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be a good atmosphere down there.
All right, 9:33, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. So game balls to Broncos players, both sides of the football after the win yesterday over the Giants. Got one from Mike from Scottsdale. Happy overreaction Monday, muchachos. Game balls to Von Miller and Fuller on D and Teddy and Judy on the offensive side. He was the best player on the field until he got hurt. Yes, as far as we're, you know, we know it's a high ankle sprain for Jerry Judy. The defensive backfield was solid. Tomorrow we talk college. Buffs covered the 40 mark. CSU, ha 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 ha. Yeah. Like I said, our colleague Buffalo Mark, he's mm-hmm. predicting a 40-point win for Texas A&M. Colorado said no. Now Buffs lose that game, but lose it in a close 10-7 football game. And then the Rams with Vanderbilt. I mean, that's a bad football team in Vanderbilt. Guess what? Rams are probably as bad, not worse.
Feeling stupid? I know I am.
Yeah. That's how I feel if I'm a Rams football player right now.
Not good. Not good at all. All right, 9:34, and it's time for this day in sports history. We go back to 1930, Tommy Armour beats Gene Sarazen in one up to win the PGA Championship. Also on this day, 1981, the Atlanta Falcons trailing 17-0 with 13 minutes left in the game. They score 31 points to beat the Green Bay Packers 31-17. The Falcons score touchdowns on a punt return, two by passes, an interception return, and a fumble return. 1981, John McEnroe defeats Bjorn Borg to win his third straight men's singles title at the U.S. Open. On this day, 1992, Buffalo's Jim Kelly and San Francisco's Steve Young throw for more than 400 yards and neither team punts, the first time in NFL history, as the Bills beat the Niners 34-31. 1997, remember Cade McCown?
Yeah.
Throws a school record, 5 touchdowns, as UCLA routes number 11 Texas 66-3. It's the second worst loss for Texas, which lost 68-0 to Chicago in 1904. And it's the biggest defeat of a ranked team in the AP college football poll.
A good work by Texas this weekend, too. Getting waxed at Arkansas.
So much for the Longhorns being back.
You sure you want to join that conference?
Yeah, are you sure about that? Are you sure?
Arkansas, you want to go there? Kind of middle of the road.
They've gotten better.
I mean, they used to be Vanderbilt territory. Now they're, you know, Auburn, Mizzou territory.
Ish, yeah, that's a fair comparison. Yeah. 2003, Tanya Butler makes a field goal and 3 extra points for Division II West Alabama. Butler, a 5'5", 140-pound senior, kicks a 27-yard field goal in the first quarter to help the Tigers beat Stillman College 24-17. It could not be confirmed whether Butler was the first woman to kick a field goal because NCAA stats do not differentiate between sexes.
If you make it, you make it, I guess, right? I
mean, and what, unless their name is like Sam Smith.
Yeah.
Right?
Sam, Jamie, Lauren, you know.
I'm not sure how hard that would have been to really, you know,
right,
figure that out, but.
The name is Jessica. I'm not entirely certain.
Okay. 2008, BYU quarterback Max Hall ties the school record with 7 touchdown passes as the 18th-ranked Cougars hand UCLA their worst loss in nearly 80 years with a 59-0 win.
Isn't that kid that's playing the quarterback now? Isn't he Max Hall for BYU? How long was his mission? Is he still playing? That's not entirely fair.
I don't know if they're related.
He's a 37-year-old quarterback out there playing. Scott Bakula.
I don't think that that's, yeah, don't think it's the same guy. Okay.
But that's what his name was, Max Hall.
Jaren Hall.
Jaren Hall. It's his son.
Is it his son? Are you sure?
No.
I
if he's in college in 2008, I'm gonna
probably not. I would think maybe a brother. Could be his brother.
Maybe
brother.
Cousin.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's his brother.
LDS, they're all brothers. Brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Not his son, obviously.
Brother.
Brother.
Brother. Brother.
Could be his brother. I'm looking here and I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, I haven't. But anyways, I haven't confirmed that at all.
It's Jaren Hall, not Max Hall. No, Max Hall is not on the LDS mission that lasts for 5-6 years. Ends up redshirting a couple of times.
He was on a walkabout, apparently.
Maybe he was on a mission down in Australia on a walkabout. Maybe, yeah. So. He got lost, you know, then he eventually makes his way back.
Him and his kangaroo buddy with a
kangaroo jack.
Yeah.
Yikes. What a bad movie. And finally, on this day, 2009, Brandon Stokely catches just one pass as a Denver Bronco. But it is a big one. He grabs a deflection from the neckbeard. It's from Orton, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And runs 87 yards with 11 seconds left to give Denver a 12-7 win over Cincinnati. Stokely even burns a few extra seconds by taking his time going into the end zone.
I remember that.
Also, 2010, Rafa Nadal wins his first U.S. Open title to complete a career Grand Slam, beating Novak Djokovic, who... Mm-hmm. Oh,
almost had the Grand Slam.
Almost. Close, but almost. No cigar for Joker. All right, 9:39. That's this day in sports history.
I have my good, bad, and ugly. I haven't got a chance to run this out yet.
Okay.
So my good, we briefly mentioned it, but the Rockies took a series on the road. They took 3 out of 4.
Not bad.
In Philadelphia. So that was really good for them. Bad, Ohio State and the Browns both losing. That was a lot of fun. The ugly... The Indians get shut out for the 4th time this season. 3 legit and 1 7-inning job. They've been shut out. They've been no hit 4 times this season. Sorry, not shut out. No hit 4 times. They've been shut out a lot more than that because their offense is trash. But
to be
that was a
no
lot of
hit
fun. Yeah.
4 times. Yeah.
Not, Corbin not, Burns
not good.
Going out there. For 8, and then they're like, okay, good, we got the starter out, and they roll out Josh Hader. That's a different kind of not a lot of fun to watch. It's like, come on, guys. You can only scrape out 1 walk? Thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. We're on to football.
All right, 9:40. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Garbage time on the way. Text or call us. 970-242-1340. The Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:44. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, The Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. Tomorrow's program, Wyatt Thompson, our college football insider, will join us. We'll also have Montrose coach Brett Mertens. Mike Rice of the Broncos report as Denver gets ready for Jacksonville. And we'll have Mav Day with Tremaine Jackson, head coach of the Colorado Mesa football team. Mavs get ready to open up RMAC play at New Mexico Highlands on Saturday right here on the Team CMU Sports Network. All right, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Good is obviously the Broncos winning yesterday. The good slash bad, the Buffs playing well but losing to A&M. Also, another good Iowa winning over Iowa State.
Yeah.
The ugly thing you referenced earlier this morning. I'm gonna use this because I thought the same thing yesterday.
Indians getting no hit for 4 times.
No, you referenced this in hour 1.
Oh, okay.
I like Mark Schlereth. I just don't know about him.
Man, he was bad yesterday.
Yeah, just guessing and being wrong. How about you just don't know and just how about let it play out. Let the official make the call, and you just play it out. Don't try to Tony Romo it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't try to make a prediction that you're not sure how the call's going
to
go.
React and recap. You're not there to predict.
And he got some wrong, and it's it's okay. It's not like it's the worst thing in the world. But when the pass interference defensive holding call. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. No, it's not.
No.
It's not the same penalty.
It's just, it was more than I remember it being for Mark. It was just not very good.
Just not a great day yesterday.
So,
but a great day for the Broncos to get the win. Now it's on to Jacksonville for the Broncos. All right, 9:46.
We're on to the Jags.
We're on to the Jags now. Okay, so let's wrap it up. Let's flip open the lid and hop in for some garbage time today.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, Jim Bowden, who writes for The Athletic,
mm-hmm.
that covers baseball, says he's talked to executives from all 30 Major League Baseball teams. And last month, he had his list of the top 43 impending free agents in Major League Baseball. So here are the 10 players that, in his conversations with executives from all the teams in Major League Baseball, the names that have been mentioned the most heading into this offseason. And there'll be a name on here that's not on here that you might be a little surprised.
Okay.
Number 10, Byron Buxton with the Twins. Number 9, Josh Donaldson, Minnesota Twins. Gleyber Torres with the Yankees. Joey Gallo with the Yankees. Keep in mind, these are players that execs have talked about heading into the offseason that could be on the move. Wilson Contreras of the Cubs.
Whit Merrifield. He's the only one left.
He's last one out the door. Wilson, turn the light off. Whit Merrifield with the Royals.
Oh, two-hit Whit, yeah.
I like Whit Merrifield. He's a good little player. I like Whit Merrifield.
I would very much like to have him on either of my teams.
Yeah. Matt Chapman, come on, legendary.
Greatest third baseman in the history of baseball.
Forget everybody else. Forget Arenado. Forget Brooks Robinson.
Right.
Forget Schmidt. Forget those guys.
He's such a great third baseman. He's also the A's best first baseman.
So he's on this list. Ketel Marte with the Diamondbacks. The actual first baseman for the A's. Yeah. Matt Olson is second. Jose Ramirez with the Indians.
Sounds about right.
You notice whose name I didn't say on that list?
Trevor Story.
Team's kind of cooled on him.
He's had a down year. His year's not good. His metrics defensively are just, they're awful. His offense is taking a hit. You can make an excuse that the offense is probably all of the talk surrounding him. You know, the offseason chatter into, is he going to be moved? And then, why am I still here? You know, I'm out of here at the end of the year type thing. You can excuse the offense away for that, but defense has been bad. His throws have been bad. His range is still good, but his arm is not what it was for some reason.
Doesn't that increase the chances he stays with the Rockies, maybe?
Yeah, probably, at least for an offseason.
I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like that his market value is all that great.
They have an honorary negotiator and Jeff Breidich come in to sign him for a year and then send him away.
Let's keep him away from this deal, okay? He's gone now.
Yeah.
Let's keep him far, far away.
Let's have him stay gone.
All right, do you have something?
I do. Now, you take a look at the Rockies. They're 66-78 right now.
I think I picked him to finish with 68 wins.
Yes, you did, and they're probably going to surpass that. They're not going to lose 100 games this year. Math tells me that's the case. They're only nine back of the Padres for third place in the division. Not that they're going to the playoffs. They're not, but they're nine back of a wild card spot right now with however many games are left. I'm not going to do that math live on the air. I think there's 16 games left. They're not going to make the playoffs.
No, it's not going to happen.
They would be fighting for the East lead right now. They'd be four games back of the Metropolitans.
So is there a chance we can move the Rockies to the East?
Can they play in the NL East? Might as well.
Can we move
BYU is going to be in the Big 12. Why UCF
not?
Is going to be in the Big 12.
Why not?
Yeah. Like Colorado's in the Pac-12. Three states removed from anything Pac.
Yeah, why not? Let's move them there.
Why not?
Come on, Rob Manfred.
I love the skull and crossbones on Baseball Reference. There's only four teams with them right now that are officially out. Baltimore, Texas, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. right. Arizona's making a run at Baltimore for worst team in Major League Baseball.
Go get it, Diamondbacks.
Baltimore,
go get it done.
46-97. Arizona, 47-96.
Ooh.
That's your number one pick, folks.
All right. Keep it on baseball. New York Yankees teammates defending Wandy Peralta on Sunday night after whistling allegations.
Yeah.
The Yankees and Mets had a beef during Sunday night's game. Mets won 7-6 thanks to three home runs from Frankie Lindor. Hey, Frankie Lindor sighting.
That's three more hits than his former team got Saturday yeah. night.
And apparently there was the bench is cleared of some trash talking between Lindor and Giancarlo Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
Lindor and some of his Mets teammates felt like Saturday starter Taijuan Walker was tipping pitch and the Yankees were communicating those tips via whistles. Peralta's accused of doing some of the whistling to communicate the tips. However, Peralta's teammates defended him and said he was just whistling to support his team. Buying that?
Okay, first of all, that's hilarious, but that's not at all true.
What if ever you heard baseball players, you know, this chatter, hey, come on, about it.
They're not junior softball players. Half of those guys aren't even locked in on that game, let alone cheering on their teammates.
He was whistling to support. When have you ever heard that?
Never. You know what I've heard about whistling
in baseball?
You know,
Mickey Mantle used to do that a lot. He used to whistle a lot to cheer on Roger Maris.
He's whistling at the games in the stands. He was doing. But you know what I've heard?
Hey, babe.
You know what I've heard whistling when it comes to baseball? The 2017 Astros. That's not a group you want to be in. But first of all, if Taijuan Walker's tipping his pitches, you can't get mad at the Yankees for catching that.
Don't tip your pitches.
Or relaying that, hey, he's going to throw fastball. Now, if they're stealing the signs,
entirely different thing.
That's different. But if Taijuan Walker is like opening his glove up more on a changeup because he's got to get a grip,
a pattern has emerged.
That's on him. I love Frankie Lindor, and I really do. And he was very much tap dancing around the, I'm not accusing them, but I feel
strongly. You are. Come on.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, you better win. If you're going to trash talk them rounding the base paths, you better win. And thankfully they did Sunday night. But and that's the thing. If he's tipping the pitches, that's on Taijuan Walker. And that's on you guys to be like, hey, you're doing something.
They're figuring it out.
Yeah.
That's the pitching coach to get with him and go, okay.
Right.
What can we do to, you need to stop, here's what I'm seeing.
Have some of your other guys like Stroman, DeGrom, have them keep an eye on him to see what he's doing on different pitches. If he's tipping, that's on him. The Yankees have every reasonable right to be like, hey, fastball coming or changeup, whatever.
But don't give me this, though, that Wandy Peralta's whistling to cheer his teammate.
Come on. That's hilarious.
Come on. Finally. This is one of another reason why social media sucks.
Okay.
Niners running back Raheem Mostert, who's like he's had an injury history, and he got hurt again yesterday. Mostert left Sunday's game against the Lions with a knee injury. Later last night, his wife, Devon, posted a troubling message on her Instagram story where she revealed that her family received hate messages over the injury. She said that some of the messages told Raheem to kill himself. She wrote, "It's days like today where I truly contemplate never getting on social media again." He gets hurt, and so that's the response of a Niners fan?
Mm-hmm. And
I just... It'd be like, same thing about Jerry Jeudy, because Jerry Jeudy now has got,
Jedrick Wills in the Browns game.
Same deal. Not that Jerry's injury history, because he played the majority of last season, but...
Or Wills or whatever, but that doesn't matter.
But still...
Injury history or not.
The guy got hurt. He's not trying to get hurt. And if he... I just don't get that. He should kill himself?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of sick human being writes crap like that?
And, we love sports betting. I love betting, being able to bet on the games. But with that being more prolific,
fantasy,
you're only going to get more of that. And that's the sad drawback.
Killing my fantasy team. You should go kill yourself.
Yep.
You need to be a grown-up and a human being, a decent person, and feel bad the guy got hurt again.
You lost to fantasy football week. Go kick rocks. Doesn't matter.
He's got another knee injury now in his career. Who knows where it goes? All right. We'll be back with you tomorrow.